From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. One small cruise company will require all its passengers and crew to be vaccinated before making any trips to Alaska this year. That means passengers will be able to mingle and shop at port calls, which could be helpful for some struggling Southeast Alaska towns. KTOO's Claire Strempel reports.
It's a complete turnaround from the company's policy just a month ago, when Uncruise Adventures planned to keep passengers in a bubble, away from Alaska communities. But CEO Dan Blanchard says widely available vaccines mean more freedom this summer.
So it brings back a measure, far from all, but it brings back a measure of normalcy.
It's also a hopeful sign for coastal towns that rely on seasonal travelers for income. Blanchard said he would be remiss in his responsibility to his crew if he didn't require passengers to take every available precaution against COVID-19.
Our choice is we have to be as safe as possible. And that means that if you're 18 or older, you need to be vaccinated.
He says the requirement hasn't diminished interest. Fewer than 1% of his clients can't get the vaccine and will wait to sail until 2022. Uncruise Adventures attempted sailings last year, but turned back to port when a passenger tested positive for the coronavirus. Blanchard says for his company, going another summer without sailings is unfathomable. Cruising is one of Southeast Alaska's main industries. Last year, Uncruise's boat was the only cruise that came to the region, and it only had 36 passengers. This year, the company says it will bring 4,300 people to Alaska. That is orders of magnitude less than a typical year, but Juneau Mayor Beth Weldon says it's still a good sign for local businesses.
In our CARES Act funding, we gave lots of money to our business community to try and help businesses survive a summer without cruise ships. So hopefully they have survived and they'll be open to business. And we'll look forward to seeing visitors walking on our streets and sidewalks shortly.
Weldon says Alaska in general, and Southeast Alaska in particular, are safe places to visit, and she's supportive of the Uncruise decision to require vaccinations.
We have done great in Juneau to get ourselves vaccinated here, and to have folks coming in the community that are already vaccinated seems like an easy way to continue to keep Juneau safe.
In the past 2 weeks, the bulk of COVID-19 cases in Juneau have been from out-of-state travelers. Juneau still offers testing for travelers and requires 5 days of strict social distancing upon arrival, unless you've been vaccinated. For KTOO, I'm Claire Strempel.
More than 5 weeks after Governor Mike Dunleavy's disaster declaration was allowed to expire, Dunleavy and some legislators disagree with other lawmakers over whether to bring it back. Those affected by the expiration say it's time to resolve the deadlock. KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports.
After Juneau resident Ted Merrill had lung cancer surgery in early February in Seattle, his wife Lucy Merrill hoped he'd be able to have his follow-up scans done in Juneau. Ted's surgeon said that wasn't possible.
He said, unfortunately, because Alaska doesn't have the COVID emergency thing in place any longer, he cannot do telemedicine with Alaska residents.
That's because Governor Dunleavy's disaster declaration expired on February 14th. The House hadn't organized in time to pass an extension Dunleavy proposed. Lucy Merrill says that means Ted has to fly down to Seattle for the scans. Dunleavy and the legislature have different ideas about what to do next. The governor says the COVID-19 situation in Alaska has improved enough that a full disaster declaration is no longer necessary. He described what he wants instead earlier this month.
I don't think we need to be looking at a full-blown health declaration.
He credits Alaskans with making that possible.
We're working with the legislature to get a bill passed that would be very limited, very focused.
Republican legislators have worked with Dunleavy's administration on legislation that would be more limited. It would support the telemedicine that patients like Ted Merrill benefit from. It gives the administration the authority to allocate and distribute vaccines, and it allows the state to accept federal relief, like $8 million a month in food assistance to families. But the delays have been more than frustrating for groups that never wanted to see the disaster declaration end, like Alaska's hospitals and most municipalities. Jared Kosin has been hearing that from hospital leaders. He's president of the Alaska State Hospital and Nursing Home Association. And these leaders are telling Kosin it makes no sense to give up some of the governor's disaster declaration powers during the pandemic, especially the mandate that all arriving air passengers be tested for the coronavirus.
I understand that Alaskans are fatigued, and I completely respect that, and we're fatigued. But if you just take a step back and look at what's the most logical, efficient way to deal with this, we are not taking that path right now.
Kosin says it's inevitable that fewer passengers are being tested without the mandate. And hospitals are concerned that's contributed to COVID spread in communities like Petersburg, which experienced an outbreak after the declaration expired.
And then ask yourself, is that productive for getting us through the pandemic and back to a fully functional open economy? And I think the answer is no, it is not productive. It only has the potential to set us back.
On Monday, the House Finance Committee passed a bill that's similar to what Dunleavy wanted before the declaration expired. At least some Republican legislators say they're hearing from constituents that they don't want the state to be under a disaster declaration. Nikiski Republican Representative Ben Carpenter says the bill advancing in the House attempts to force Dunleavy into a disaster declaration he doesn't want.
And I think that is a mistake. It is a bad precedent to set. It is not necessary, as we've heard laid out by members of his administration, to address the COVID crisis.
As the two chambers consider different bills, some Alaskans just want the issue resolved. Lucy Merrill in Juneau says doing that sooner would have saved her and her husband Ted a lot of aggravation and money on airfare to Seattle and a hotel.
I don't care who does it. I just wanted to get it done and fixed.
The House could pass the bill that would extend the disaster declaration in the coming days. The Senate Finance Committee is scheduled to hear the Senate version of the legislation on Wednesday. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
In other news, a witness who spoke with Andy Tuber before his helicopter went missing earlier this month told federal investigators that the tribal health executive was distracted and not himself. That's according to a preliminary report on the crash released by the National Transportation Safety Board today. It says Tuber is presumed dead and his helicopter destroyed. Tuber is the former president of the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium, which helps coordinate care for Alaska Native people across the state. He was alone flying in the Robinson R-66 helicopter from Anchorage to Kodiak when he went missing March 2nd, with his last reported location near a cluster of islands known for treacherous weather conditions. That was the same day the Anchorage Daily News published a story in which Tuber's former assistant accused him of sexual coercion and abuse. He resigned his $1 million-a-year job at ANTHC the previous week, just after the assistant detailed some of her accusations in a letter to the consortium's board of directors. The new report says Tuber contacted a pilot from a helicopter business he owned, Kodiak Helicopters, the day he went missing. Just before taking off from downtown Anchorage's Merrill Field, Tuber told the other pilot that he wanted to be in Kodiak with his family when the Daily News story was published. The NTSB has already said it's weighing Tuber's state of mind as a factor in its analysis and assigned a human performance investigator to the case. And Alaska-based telecommunications firm GCI plans to move its customer call center to the Philippines. A company spokesperson says the change will lower wait times for callers and provide around-the-clock service. Spokesperson Heather Handyside says 84 of the 142 people working in the center are being offered other jobs within GCI. She says the company will continue to work with the other 58 employees to identify other job opportunities between now and November. That's when the transition is expected to be complete. Handyside told the Anchorage Daily News that workers who don't take another job with GCI will get a severance package. And Petersburg will bring back some form of the Little Norway Festival this year, although it's expected to look a little different in a COVID-19 world. Petersburg's Chamber of Commerce Board made the announcement online last week. For more on this story, go to ktoo.org. This is KTOO News.